In the last video in this ASP.NET authentication series, we saw how to add users to your ASP.NET application using the Create User Wizard control that ships as part of ASP.NET 2.0 and is accessible through Visual Studio. It might, however, be that for some reason you want to roll your own. You don't want to use the wizard because you're wizard averse, or even though the Create User Wizard is highly, highly configurable both from an aesthetics perspective as well as from a functionality perspective, maybe you need to integrate some custom logic or you just want to roll your own. So the good news is that the membership API is fully exposed, so it's easy to call into that without having to write all of the database access logic yourself. So let's go ahead and in this video we'll create a custom create user form not using the wizard, and we'll open an existing ASP.NET project. And again, if you've been following along with the videos, this project is familiar to you. I'll run it just really quickly in case you haven't seen it. And what you'll see here is our home page. There's a link button control here for login, which takes us to a page where we can enter a username and password and authenticate against our SQL Server database. Now, we're presuming here that the username and password already exist in that database. And how we've created the default ones is simply by here using Visual Studio in the website ASP.NET configuration tab, but we're not going to be able to use that in production, so we're going to be creating users here in our application. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new web page, and this web page I'll call create user, and we'll select the default master page. And the only reason that I'm creating this first, we have to link to it from someplace, but I'm going to create it first so that when we create the link button, we can specify the URL. So now let's go ahead into the login.aspx page. This is the page that you get to when you click on the login, the login link button that's on the home page. And in fact, that lives in the master page, so it's in all of the pages that derive from that master page. And here we're going to do a couple things. First, we're going to say leave a message, no user account left yet, and then we'll add a link button. And in the link button, we'll have a message that says, click here to create one now. Now, in the postback URL property, we're going to select our create user.aspx page. So here, when somebody goes to the login page now, if they don't have credentials, there's this no user account message, click here to create one now. And while we're in here, let's go ahead and put a line break there. Okay. And if they do that, right, if they click on that link, then what will happen is they'll then hop over to the create user page. Now here in the create user page, we're going to create the form. So for alignment purposes, let's go ahead and insert a table. In that table, I want two columns is fine, but I want five rows. And so here for this row, we're going to say username. Password, email address. Now you can specify in terms of the API when we're using a secret question, you can use whatever question that you want. But in our case, for the purposes of this demo, we're not going to let the user specify their own question. We're going to specify it for them. So we'll say your favorite color. And for each of these TDs, we're going to align to the right. And this is just to get the alignment of the text and the input box. So we'll align each one of those to the right. Now the next thing we're going to need is text boxes to take in all of that data. So let's pop a text box in here. And I'm going to set the name equal to the TB username. And I know that that's for you younger programmers, the use of some sort of a designating prefix, similar to Hungarian notation or what have you, is passé, but I find it helpful in my programming, so I use that naming convention. We also want to specify a width, and let's just make the width 200 pixels. Now we're going to need some more of these, so oops, don't need that last one. And this is going to be TB password. This is going to be TB email. This is going to be TB color. We're also going to need a button. And let's make the button's width 200 as well. I'm just going to call that button create user. Let's make the width 200 pixels. And we'll put a caption in there. Click to create your account. Let's just run this to see that we get the alignment that we want. Okay, so we're looking good. Next, let's go down here and outside the table. We're going to need one more thing. So outside the table, we're going to need a label. And the label is going to contain the results. So let's call this label create account results. It's going to start empty. And I don't know how long it needs to be, but we'll just do something like that. Okay, so now we've got our form. Now we need to actually process the login request. So here we'll go into CodeBehind, and first thing that we're going to do is we're going to create a membership create status object. So we'll say dim create status as membership create status. Now we need a container for our object, so let's say dim new user as membership user equal membership create user. Now you'll notice that there are a number of overridden methods here, and we're going to use the one that takes the most parameters. So if we pop down using IntelliSense, we can see that, actually we're not going to specify the provider key. So as always, IntelliSense will guide you through the elements that you need to pass into your into this create user method. So for us, we're going to say TB username text, then we're going to pass in the password, so it'll be TB password text. Then the email address. So tbuseremail.text. After email, we need to pass in the security question. Now remember, we hard-coded that, so we'll just pass in a static string. And this is what will be stored in the database. And this question and answer are normally used if you want to allow the user to reset their password or recover their password. So that's the question. Next, we need the answer. So we'll add... did we add a field for that? Let's go see. Yes, what did we call that? TB color. Okay, so let's add TB color text. Next is approved, and this is a Boolean setting that says whether or not the user is automatically activated. And if they're automatically activated, by default, they'll be automatically logged in as well. So let's set that equal to true. We're going to say, hey, as soon as they create their account, it's active. And then we need to pass in a membership create status object, and we created one right here. You'll recall create status, so that's the one that we're going to pass in, and that's it. Now, what should have happened if things were successful at this point is that we actually have created the new user based on all of the information that was entered into the form. But we want to find out whether that was actually successful. So let's create a select statement for create status. And let's begin with case success. So we'll say case. Membership create status success. And if that's the case, we're going to use that label, create account results, to specify what the results were. So we'll say was successfully created. And of course, we need to consider error conditions as well. So let's check and see if the username was a duplicate. So we'll say membership duplicate username. Okay, we'll say that username already exists. And of course, we need to access the text property of that label. Let's also check to see if the email address exists. And if it does, we'll say let's see. Next, let's check to see if the email address is valid. Right, and this is one of the places where you might want to do some regular expression evaluation rather than just assume whatever is in there is a valid email address. So let's see. Case. Membership email is valid. And here we could just say, please enter a valid email address. How about invalid answer? So we'll say, you know, if there's some reason that the So for example, maybe you know you have a fixed set of questions, but you want to make sure that the questions conform with some sort of answer. So for example, you want to make sure that if the question is what's your favorite color, that they actually enter a color. So maybe the color's got to be one that's in a list. So you can do that message as well. And again, text property. We want to make sure that the password is valid. Right, so let's say invalid password. The password that's entered is invalid. Please enter a password with at least 7 characters and 1 non alphanumeric. Okay, probably not the best error message. And then we want to make very sure that we add a case else. So we've checked for a collection of specific errors, but we want to make sure that we do a case else that covers anything that we didn't specifically program. And this is really important because, for example, if in this hard-coded text we had some sort of a typographic error that prevented the SQL Server database from accepting this as a column value, none of these specific cases would be triggered. And if we didn't have a case else, the user might not know that that they had entered, or that there was an error. Especially if we were allowing the user to enter their question themselves. Maybe the question was invalid, but the answer was okay, and we hadn't specifically tested for the validity of the question. Right, so you want to make sure that you use a case else. Right. Now, let's go ahead and run this. So we'll say username. Click create account. Notice it's invalid. The password entered is invalid. Please enter a password with at least 7 characters and 1 non-alphanumeric. And then when we satisfy all of the necessary criteria, then we can successfully create the account. So now if we go ahead and go to website, ASP.NET configuration, and then look at the security tab in the current users collection, what we'll see is that user that I just created. All right, so not that much more difficult to create your own custom form if you want to. There's a little bit more detailed work to do, but the API makes things very easy. And now that we've created users, there are 2 things that we can move on to do in this video series. One is we can start to use some of the additional features like profile management. But the other thing that we can do is, now that we have the ability to create users, we can start to make decisions based on the authenticated state of that user, and maybe even the roles of that user, both in terms of customizing what gets presented to the user as well as protecting certain functionality or data in our application. So now you're ready to move on to the next steps.